Welcome to Sales Burrito. I'm your co-host, Enrique Burrito. You know, for professions such as dentists, doctors, or even plumbers, there is vocational schools or universities that teaches you and catapults your career from the beginning to do what your dreams are. But would you believe me if I told you that there is no schooling per se for sales engineers? On this episode of Sales Burrito, we're going to give you the tips and the training in a short amount of time on what you need to start your career as a sales engineer as quickly as possible. No different than pilots take flight simulators to actually ensure that they don't crash and burns. You need the stick time to make sure that from day one, you're successful. Welcome to Sales Burrito.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Welcome to Sales Burrito! The premier podcast for today's sales engineers working in technology sales, created by SEs for SEs, with your hosts, Enrique Barreto and Dave Siles.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Dave Siles here with me as always, my crash test dummy. Or my co-pilot, maybe, for this episode.
Look, man, I'll be whatever. Crash test. I mean, I can tell you that I am truly enjoying doing this podcast. There's so many new things that I find, so many cues. You know, it's as we try to continue to reach for excellence to bringing great topics for our sales engineers. So I am doing fantastic. How are you doing,
sir? I'm doing great, man. You know, another week, another fabulous day in the sun here in Florida. Can't complain. But yeah, you know, I think you had a great intro there, man. I think it's a well way to put this out. I mean, if you were a doctor or an electrician or a carpenter, you know, you would go through school, you would have a well-defined training program, and you'd walk out and go through a certification process or some validation check ride, or, you know, go past the bar if you were a lawyer. Sales engineers, we don't have that, right? I mean, you have your traditional business schools, but if you want to go get into this profession, you know, it's baptism by fire. Right? You are off the deep end, and if you didn't bring your floaties, man, you're sinking or swimming. And it's all whether or not you learned how to swim or not, right?
Well, I can't believe that it has taken us this long to talk about this. We're in season 2, episode 11. It's almost like an epiphany, right? Because, you know, what I said is true. It's not that you can go to University of South Florida or University of Miami and take a curriculum on sales engineering. It just doesn't exist. And in some of our research that you and I have done and the market and whatnot, something that is very second nature perhaps to us, you know, to others is a niche market. We don't see it that way. We see it as a very profitable market. So we'll keep it as niche as possible to make sure that nobody's jumping and saturating the market. But it is true. I think that, you know, it all starts with, you know, the DNA of a sales engineer, right? You have the curiosity, you have that love for solving problems, the technical side. But then, you know, something as simple as, what will be something that it will be, as you know, something as simple as trying to understand a product on the first week of a new company.
That's a great example. I mean,
it's a good term.
We all are there, right? I don't care if you've been in SE for, you know, 10, 20 years, you're always going to pick up some new technology or walk into some new company that it's going to be new to you in some aspect, right? And, you know, there's certain things that people have in our toolbox that, you know, make us, you know, that separate DNA, so to speak, you know, the problem solvers. And, you know, if the problem of the day is that you don't understand your product yet, you have to solve for that, right? And there's so things you can do, obviously, that help you get there. But it's almost a little bit, sometimes you have to do it while you're on front stage, too. Not everybody gets a chance to do that, you know, back in the comforts of the office or, you know, in the back wall, right? I mean, if you sometimes then that opportunity in the first day of the week in the first job and you're out and meeting with customers, you know, you almost run on the pressure cooker because you have to be almost faking it till you make it, right? And I hate to say that because I don't want anybody to fake anything, but you know, you still have to come across and show that you have command of your product and your knowledge. And if you're ramping at the same time, you're trying to demonstrate and sell it, you know, how are you going to do that? And, you know, one of the things I know that, you know, you've always been great at is, you know, understanding the manual, right, back and forth. And if that's the only thing you have, you know, don't be shy. I mean, the answer can always be, I don't know, let me get on that and I'll get back to you, right? You know, the one thing you'd never want to do to a customer is tell them something that's not factually true. And if you don't know the answer yet, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, look, I'm going to understand this a little bit deeper and I'll get back to you, or pinging a resource. I mean, the most beautiful thing about today's world, right? We all sell in a connected world. You're always typically an SMS or, you know, a Slack message away from probably the right answer, right?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'll take a personal anecdote of when I became a sales engineer. The first, you know, I became a sales engineer officially, it was 2008, 2009, from an IT manager to a sales engineer. And that first 2, 3, 4 weeks, right? I had a notion of thinking that, oh, you know, I got to train and enable myself and I have 90 days to do it. It wasn't the case. It was like, hey, you understand the manual? You're right, go. It was literally 2 weeks out, right? And, you know, to some newcomers to the profession, that's a make it or break it. Because if you can't think in a way that you can live with that challenge of knowing that you have to read the manual or maybe have the manual ready to answer questions, you know, I don't care how many enablement processes are within an organization, people want you in the field like quickly, right? And that's why sometimes, you know, unfortunately, sometimes we say, well, I'd rather have an experienced sales engineer than having to have a sales engineer that is just coming, right? Because you have a business, you have a quota that you have to run. But that doesn't mean, you know, that doesn't mean that new sales engineers don't get a chance. I got a chance to it. And how I hate to say it, it's not about fake it till you make it. It's about how I was prepared with tools. So I had, for example, I had the PDF manual in my desktop. I knew how to search. I knew how to look for keywords, just no different than what Google, right? To be able to know the answer as quickly as I could. Sure, you're going to have sales reps that are going to say, you know, inside of them, why is he keep saying, hey, let me get back to you? So, because he doesn't know the answer. That was what I was trying to do. Try to avoid reducing the amount of questions that I said, hey, let me get back to you. Or the answers, let me get back to you. So,
sure.
It's those trick of the trades that you need to be able to cope with the reality that you have to be in the field quickly rather than waiting for 90 days, for example, to be on the field.
Yeah. And I agree. You shouldn't say that for every single question. If you have to say it for every single question, you probably need to take a day or two and get really try to get up to speed. But, you know, I think one of the things a lot of organizations do today, and I'm a fan of, is, you know, the co-pilot experience, right? Give you the chance to get your feet wet and get in the experience. You know, it's like saying, okay, you passed your written test, but let's get you in the car, drive now. And you're still going to go out with somebody who's got a license and has been doing it for a while, but you're going to get that hands-on experience. And so, especially for new engineers, I think it's critical, right? You know, because unfortunately we learn by doing in our profession, and repetition is king. And if you don't get the reps in, it's just like anything else, any other kind of muscle memory, you're not going to get it. And so you got to have that. But at the same time, you got to put your homework in too, right? I mean, it's not like you'd show up on Friday night, you know, Friday night lights and the game's on. You know, Monday through Thursday, you still got to be in the weight room training yourself and, you know, getting ready for it. So from an SE perspective, if you're new to the profession, you're listening to this podcast and you're coming in, you know, the hard work is still there, right? We don't have the easy answer on how to give you osmosis to get it all in your head. But these tricks and tips from this podcast episode is really to help you say, hey, look, I'm in the pressure zone. You know, I can think back. I mean, Enrique, I heard his voice pops into my head and says, hey, like I was here once too. Let me just go look and see if I can find the answer. I mean, and you know, in our profession, no one knows everything. And anybody who says they know everything, you might as well just tell them they're a liar already, because they are. You know, the thing about our profession is we are problem solvers and we know how to solve the problem. And the problem solving that we have to do is to go find the answer. You know, just know how to find the answer. I used to tell that to kids that, yeah, I say kids, right? But now I'm dating myself. But, you know, when taught in school, teaching school and college, right? The kids would come in for the class and I would always tell them, hey, look, everything you're going to learn here is going to be out of date by the time you graduate. What you're really going to learn here is learn how to learn. And if you know how to learn, then you always will know the answer and you'll always be able to have, you know, a chance to put yourself in the betterment position. So the same thing still applies, if any more so than in our profession today, because, you know, the amount of information at our fingerprints, you know, a search away or a you know, internal repository away, it's amazing. It's like even 20 years ago when I started in the profession, it's like, okay, you know, a lot of that stuff was still paper knowledge.
Yeah, one of the things that I've seen on great organizations that like to foster a culture of learning is I've seen circumstances where new sales engineers will come in that organization and, you know, let's say that they're using Slack, for example, and there is, you know, maybe they have a channel that's called Stupid Questions. Maybe they have a channel called Ask Product or Ask a Sales Engineer, right? And if you look at the history of some of these Slack channels, right, or you know, I'm picking in Slack, but it could be any channel, right? You're going to see who knows and who doesn't know. But the cool thing about who knows and who doesn't know is that if you're a new sales engineer coming into the career, you do it, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not answering questions there by looking at the manual and be able to actually, oh, I just read this, let me answer it. Or let me search and let me answer. That was one of the things that I did personally also. It was like, you know, prior to Slack, when you had your Microsoft Messengers and whatnot, there was groups as well. And the way that I trained my brain to understand a product, aside from the fact that I needed the stick time to play with the product, whatnot, was to read the manual and understand that, I mean, maybe I'm blessed with an elephant, you know, I have an elephant body and an elephant memory. Maybe I was blessed with retaining those things, but even I would highlight things that were important, right? And then repeat them on a public forum as people needed help, because that created the mental conditioning to create my inner confidence of, hey, I got this. I know the question.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, repetition is obviously definitely important. And, you know, not just the repetition of doing it for, you know, a sales engagement, doing it when you're not in front of a sales engagement, you know, being able to take your phone out of your pocket, record yourself and watch yourself back. You know, it's a powerful tool to be able to say, you know, be your own worst critic. And if you're being your own worst critic to yourself, then, you know, you have a chance to refine and fix that before you're ever on the front stage in front of a customer or in front of your boss or your account executive who just is going to put that additional pressure on you. So, you know, don't be shy of that. I mean, one of the things that, you know, I think I've helped me in my career early on is I got a Toastmasters and we do public speaking engagements. And, you know, sometimes it would just be an impromptu topic, you know, something you don't know anything about myself, right? You come in and say, you're going to talk for 5 minutes on this. Right, you spend 5 minutes trying to get your thoughts ready, and then you go. And I, you know, one of those exercises is great. And I think another reason why I think people who do improv comedy are just such great, you know, sales engineers. It's that thinking fast on your feet type of mentality. So, you know, if you have those kind of natural reservations about public speaking or being engaged or, you know, thinking fast on your feet, use those kind of you know, extracurricular activities. And, you know, while they're not only fun and engaging, there are ways that you can really harness and help yourself in your profession. It's like no different than, you know, football players who would take ballet just to get the balance and, you know, skill and poise down and, you know, help them on the field in their day job.
So Toastmasters helped me significantly. I think I've mentioned in this podcast before that I'm truly an introvert, but I had to learn to be an extrovert when I became a sales engineer, and I know how to flip back and forth. Toastmaster was what helped me have a confidence on public speaking. Also, the other thing that was important that I learned from different members of Toastmasters was body language, right? You know, like, for example, sitting in front of a stage with your arms crossed is more of an arrogant tone. Putting your arms inside your pocket is, hey, you're timid, you're scared. But being relaxed, having, you know, shoulders down, relaxed, you know, dropping your baggage, whatever that is, just gives you that air of automatic confidence. And it's about what people see. They want to hear that you're confident. They want to see that you're confident, right? So just things that you do that at the end of the day, when you're in front of an audience, the audience doesn't question whether you knew you are an expert or not. I mean, sure, depending on the topic, the audience will know. But when you're walking on that stage, or whether that stage is a stage with 100 people or a conference room, right? Everybody, I can assure you, everybody knows or thinks that you're the subject matter expert. So might as well use it. Be able to actually be prepared for that and know that you're walking with that air of confidence that they already know, that they're not going to question you and say, hey, you suck at this.
That's a great point. It's a really great point. I mean, people do, you know, I hate to say it, make that first impression, those first, you know, 30 seconds to a couple of minutes. And so if you come across confident and you're poised and ready to be able to, you know, tackle the task at hand, you're going to get a chance to have some goofs down the line, but they're still going to see you as kind of, you know, in control, in command. And absolutely. That's a very, very valid point. I think the other skill that you need to have, you know, kind of coming out besides the public speaking side of it and obviously being able to enable up on your product is being able to communicate in not only, you know, written format, but obviously visually as well. I mean, we've talked about it in the past. We had, you know, John Kerr on our podcast here last season, you know, talking about whiteboarding and, you know, being able to have a kind of skill set in your toolbox as an SE. But, you know, if you've never done any kind of whiteboarding or visual representation, it's another great way to learn your product as well. Because when you can build out the architecture and have to memorize it and understand how everything interconnects together, it gives you a chance to really kind of enable up. But being able to take and put that on paper or put it on a whiteboard is key. So if you're not doing that today and it's not in your skill set, and I don't know why, I think it's maybe just the fact that we're all virtual now and more people just don't like to write. But you know, I think it's becoming a lost art, but it's that one thing that I think SEs still have to have. And I've got horrible handwriting, but I still force myself to whiteboard and get the picture on there. And if you're, you know, living in the digital world, by all means, you know, leverage the iPad, the Surface. There are ways to do it now digitally, and it gives you that same power of delivering that message. But, you know, that's something I highly recommend that if you're not doing today and you're looking to kind of ramp up, at least take a stab at it and practice with it.
I challenge every sales engineer or anybody that's listening to this program that if you are accustomed to just doing your presentation with PowerPoint, that you try. Just try to do your presentation with a whiteboard. You know, what are the current challenges? What are the needs? You know, and as you're writing the story, right? You're writing the negative parts of it, and also the positive. And when you're doing that, it's separating yourself from others, and also it's making you remember. Because let's face it, and at least this is to me, when I am writing literally with pen and paper, or the Apple Pencil in this case, and the iPad, I retain more than typing. That's for some reason I learned that early, and I'm like, okay, everything that I want to retain, I am writing physically, not typing, but writing it. I will say that another tip that is important, we've talked about this in many, many, many shows, is the concept of assumptions, right? I think that even today, as a leader, as a leader of sales engineers today, I see this with new sales engineers where they feel that they have to know the competition, they feel that they have to know the product, they feel that they need to know everything before they go out in the field. And you know, I don't mind training someone and saying, no, you're getting out of the bear's nest in 2 weeks. Let's go, right? But it's, you know, you have to understand and assume that if somebody tells you, hey, I need you to do a sizing, your answer can be, well, it haven't been my 90 days, so I can't give you a sizing. You got to give a sizing, right? And know that it's okay to have assumptions. Know that it's okay to, you want the customer to call your assumption out. If you discussed it, they agreed on it. If they don't agree, they're going to call it out and you win every time. So why are you afraid of? Just go for it, you know. Assume things, put things that are out of scope. You know, it's just different tricks that you do to know that you got this. Like some of them are positive energy to your mind. Some of them is just, you're worrying about things that haven't materialized of a future. You're living the today.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's just human nature. Sometimes people don't want to try to deal with things that they don't understand or don't know, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it's like, make them say no, right? Same with the whiteboarding. That's another reason why I like whiteboarding so much, is you can put it up there and say, hey, look, is this how your environment is? And then they say no, hand them the whiteboard marker and say, well, show me where I went wrong, right? And then as you start whiteboarding together, it's no longer our solution. You know, it's a joint solution, right? We both developed this together. You can't do that in PowerPoint. When you're in PowerPoint, you know, you're just presenting material to the customer. They may say, okay, it's great, don't see it. It's like that tangible thing when they put their pen to paper, so to speak, themselves, and they're there engaging with you and saying, here's how I think we should do this. And you can show them how you lay your solution on top of it. You know, it just starts connecting the dots in their head. So, you know, breaks down some of those assumptions. And then, you know, at the same time, you're getting them talking. I mean, you know, we've talked about discovery in many different ways, but when you're letting them kind of communicate how things operate, you're getting discovery in another way of asking it without having to sit there and ask the probing questions that they may just give you the one answer, one word answer back to, right?
No, absolutely. And you know what, at all this, right, there's the topic of the account executive or the sales rep, right? You know, a good team, as you're joining a good team, you're an SE and an A, right? You're paired to the hip. A good sales rep and account executive knows that if you're either whether you're experienced sales engineer and you're in a new product that you're learning, whether you're a newer sales engineer that is coming out of the field, a good sales rep knows how to cover or knows how to ensure that through the transition process that you understand, hey, you need to work on this differently or you need to focus on this. He's not saying it necessarily to chastise. He's just saying it to make sure that you're working together as a team. So because he's seen other sales engineers that have done this different things, right? But having that conversation where you tell your sales rep, I need you to quiz me on this. I need you to make me try to fail. And it's not about failure. It's about the audible, ready drills that are needed to encounter situations that you mostly see on the field. And we're talking above and beyond what training and enablement does. This is real. It's on the field. It's raw. So having that relationship is crucial. So make sure that you're telling your sales rep, I need you to help me be better by questioning me.
Yeah, so key. So very good point. And, you're really right. Once you get that team dynamic together, you should be very open with each other as well. I mean, after every time you walk out of a meeting, you should turn to each other and say, hey, look, tell me three things I did good. Tell me three things I could do better. And tell me three things I probably shouldn't do anymore, right? And that goes both ways. I mean, you give the same critical feedback up to the AE as well. And you both should be able to take critical feedback and a really good account team. And, that's only going to make everybody stronger. So, yeah. And, it's just one of those things I think you got to have. That team dynamic is important, but especially during the enablement phase where you're ramping up, take advantage of the people that you're in your organization that have been there for a while. And, everybody wants everybody else to succeed. I mean, it may not always seem that way, but, especially if it's your account executive or your region, you guys all want to make your number. You want to beat your number, if you don't ask, if you need help, no one can read minds. I mean, people like to think they can, but what they're going to read is your lack of performance or lack of quality coming out of your work. And if it's there just because you need to get a few things fine tuned, ask for it. I mean, it's not the end of the world to say, hey, look, I need help. It's not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength. If people recognize the fact that they need something and they need the help getting there, I always applaud that when an SC will step up and say, hey, look, can you help me understand this a little bit better? Can you help me get a little bit more training in this area? And obviously, enablement piece goes both ways, right? So when you get to the position, you're now the jack of all trades, so to speak, and you have that knowledge, just remember that you went through the same phase and make sure that you're paying it forward down the stream, right? That's one of the things why we do this podcast, Enrique and I, is... Yeah, we were all in this situation at one point in our career. We just want to pass these tips and tricks on and help make sure that, the next generation is still getting to pay it forward as well. So please, that's my ask for the knowledge we're passing out today is that you also then harness that, master it and then pass it forward yourself.
Well said. Well said. I mean, listen, to kind of wrap it up, right? I think if you look at the different tips that we've discussed, right? In this profession, you got to have the people skills. You have to be able to have crucial conversations with anybody, customers, sales reps, VP of sales, CEOs. You should not be afraid. They're people. You should have that. You should have the right presence when you're walking in a room. You should be commanding with leadership, right? So if you want to learn some things, if you want to feel that, look at courses on leadership, look at courses on different things, look at courses on having conversations, speaking, right? Toastmasters, anything like that is going to help you. Dealing with the anxiety, dealing with with not thinking too much in the future, but being prepared, right? To ensure that you, if anything happens in the future, that you're going to be prepared for it. And it all boils down to preparation. At the end of the day, the more you're practicing, the more you're prepared, the more you're managing what sometimes cannot be managed, right? The audible readiness of life, you're going to be very successful.
Well said, well said. So obviously our goal is to keep you enabled and keep you full of knowledge. We do that weekly here on Sales Burrito, and this podcast will also be available on your favorite podcasting platforms and always available at salesburrito.com. And then if you're looking for more insight to what's happening on the industry, check out our sister show, Tech and Tacos. Comes out weekly on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and also available at salesburrito.com. Until next time, it's been Enrique and Dave. So keep the knowledge going See, I screwed it up. See,
chips keep and salsa. The chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.
See, I need more practice. I'm gonna have to get back on my enablement. Have a good day.
Later.
We hope you've enjoyed the Sales Burrito Show. To subscribe to catch future episodes wherever you catch your favorite podcast. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook at Sales Burrito. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.